Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. Tape room, it's not quite right. It's close. Something's different from last week. I guess the equipment's a week older, amen? I hear all kind of excuses. I'm just making up one for them. Revelation chapter 16 this morning. And we've been moving into this chapter a little bit. Got about the first six or seven verses in it. And like we do, teaching Revelation chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we do have to do a little bit of reviewing and remind you that you're going through the book of Revelation, that you're dealing from chapter 4 at least through chapter 19 with what we call the tribulation period. That's a period that's identified in the Bible several different ways. In Jeremiah 30, it's called the days of Jacob's trouble, Jacob being Israel. It's a time God deals with the Jews nationally again. Romans 11 says blindness in part has come to the Jews, to Israel. And in this day and time, a Jew can be saved by trusting Christ like anybody else. Thank God for that it's leveled at the foot of the cross. But still nationally as a whole, they don't accept him as the Messiah. And yet in the tribulation period, they're going to be brought to that truth that he was and that he is the Messiah, as was predicted and has come. Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah that when he comes back in his glory at the end of the tribulation period, they're going to ask him some questions, talking about the nation of Israel. They're going to say, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your side? He's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's John, New Testament, John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we understand the setting there. Now, we're not in the tribulation period yet. You may be having some tribulation with the wife or the husband, I don't know, or the kids, but that's not the tribulation period. Tribulation period is directed to Israel, to the Jews. And the church is about to get caught out. As the bride of Christ, those that are saved are going to be called up. And on earth, the dispensation is going to make a change. And that change is going to be come back where God deals in a particular way with Israel. At that time, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And his kingdom is going to be set up on earth for a short while. The Bible tells us the whole world is going to worship. And he's called a beast in the book of Revelation. I'm reviewing now. And the whole world, the Bible says in Revelation 13, will follow after him and will worship him. One of the things he's going to do at that time is cause people to receive a mark. And that mark we dealt with in chapter 13, we often see it in, literature, movies, hear about it. Sometimes it's called the devil's mark, 666, 666, so forth. And it's a mark, and it's a number of his name. Now, when we start to chapter 16 here, we reviewed for you that God's wrath is being poured out, the vials of God's wrath. Last half of the trib, God's wrath is going to be falling on earth. First half of the trib may not be quite so bad. It may even be considered prosperous. It may even be that the Antichrist seems to have the answers. And yet he's going to turn out to be counterfeit. He's going to turn out to be false. And in the latter half, the last 3.5 years of the trib, God's wrath is going to begin to fall on planet Earth. Now, we pick it up here in chapter 16. It's called the vials of God's wrath. Verse 2 of chapter 16, we talked about that there's going to be a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So that's a particular crowd. That's the Antichrist crowd. Now, we're in the day and time now when technology can put a little chip under your skin about the size of a grain of rice. Right here in Florida, there's a company that's making them and apparently doing big business with it. And I don't know, does the sore come with a curse of God on it because they took a mark? Sounds like maybe so. Sounds like an infection or something. But nevertheless, the Antichrist is going to be given his mark during that 7-year period, and especially around that 3.5-year mark. So in chapter 16, we're getting near the end of the tribulation in the book of Revelation. And We talk about God's wrath falling upon the sea and upon the earth, and it says the sea's going to be blood like a dead man. That means it's corrupt. Dead blood is corrupt blood. And we come on down where the saints and the prophets are mentioned, that their blood's been shed and that God's sowing and reaping here. He's returning the blood upon those that did so. And verse 7 says, I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Now, you've got a crowd on God's side here that says, Lord, they deserve what you just did to them. Now, let's be honest today. As we look around, we see the long-suffering and the mercy of God everywhere we look. If God's judgment fell quickly, like it has a few times, it sure make a different impression on folks. But as a pastor, I've been watching for years folks that think, well, I got away with it once, I can get away with it twice. I can get away with it again and again and again. And they try to use up the love and mercy and long-suffering of God. And that's the age that we see today. Now, while we want to sometimes play God ourselves and say, well, I just don't know how God puts up with that fella. Well, then let's look in the mirror and say, how does God put up with that fella? We have to make a self-case out of it also. And I realize we all should be thankful for the long suffering and mercy of God. Now it says in verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now think about it. Without the sun, there'd be no life on planet Earth. But Earth's in a very tedious balance between too cool and too hot. Somebody just got back from Alaska and told me it was 2 degrees up there where they were. It was so cold it froze our radio waves. It couldn't reach them. At least they said they couldn't get us. Anyway, we too much or too little. Part of the world's trouble is distribution. You know that. Over much or not enough. And the distance from the sun is just right. This disproves evolution alone. If it was just a degree or two closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If it was a couple of degrees further from the sun, we'd freeze to death. God put it right in the right place. He put the right materials on earth to sustain life. And you get that out of balance a little bit, and life can't make it. And that's a real truth if you'll examine it. Now this fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. This time not on the earth, but the sun affects the earth. And power was given unto him, to the sun, to the angel, to what he poured on the sun, to scorch men with fire. Now the sun got too hot. Now Al Gore's warning us about global warming, but this is the real thing. He's gotten rich off of something I believe is totally false. Man-made stuff that he's trying to blame on us. This winter sure made a liar out of him, I'll tell him that. But anyway, you got all kind of human ideas and thoughts on it. There's a time coming, the sun is going to get too hot. It's going to be a problem. It says, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now let's see what they did in verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and praised God and asked forgiveness. Is that what your Bible says? No, it's not, is it? They were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. Isn't that amazing? Which have power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. God said, I want to show you a little more power now. Are you going to repent and come back to me? What did they do? They blasphemed the Lord. All right, we got a baby somewhere. Show him to the nursery. Come on back and listen with me here now. And don't look at Bob. You get to see him all the time. He's doing what's necessary here. Talking about the plagues. Do you remember reading the story when the Jews were being brought out of Egypt? Remember the plagues God brought on Egypt? You'll notice some of the same plagues coming in the book of Revelation. For instance, deals with the sun. Sun went dark, one of the plagues in Egypt. River turned to blood. Remember that? One of the plagues when they were getting, God was bringing his people out under Moses. And so you see some of the repeat stuff. Now here, men blaspheme the Lord because they got too hot. They didn't repent to give him glory like they should. Do you know there's a real picture of the gospel even in that statement? Say, what do you mean? I mean, the gospel is the good news to some and bad news to others. The truth of the matter is men will hear the gospel and repent and get saved, and some will get harder. Old-time preachers used to say the same sun that melts the snow will harden the clay. And as a preacher, I've seen some folks get very hard and bitter and mad because what God said condemned their lifestyle, what they wanted to do. Instead of getting closer to God, getting further from Him. Notice here now, they repented not and blasphemed the name of God. And if you get on down to verse 11, blaspheme the God of heaven because of what? Their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. One of the saddest things you'll ever see is somebody hurting and blaming God for it. The pain. Normally you think of pain as causing you to turn to God. The smart thing is to turn to God. How many of you back, this was legal when I was a kid, they could grab you up and use a belt or a switch or whatever was handy on you. And none of you got too much of it, I doubt. But that was legal back then, amen? I learned something by that. We had two peach trees in the yard in Georgia, and the rest of it was a cotton patch right up to the building. Never got any peaches off the trees. Mother stripped them for switches. You know what a peach tree switch is like? It's like a buggy whip. You just strip the leaves off of it and it'll last and last. And Mama had a way of keeping one handy. Stuck over the door, stuck outside the wall, wherever it was. And she'd grab Harvey, she'd grab me by the arm. It was merry-go-round. That was a long time before I ever heard of the word merry-go-round. I knew what it was. Because as she went round and round, it was not merry. And she'd get me by the arm and that switch in the other hand and put it on. And then I learned something. You don't pull away from Mama with a switch. That just makes the levers just right. You come up and hug Mama. And you say, Mama, I love you. And the leverage is not so much. You get the picture? Folks ought to do God that way. Instead, they pull away from Him. Pull away. And the pain even caused them to pull away. Now here in the tribulation period, after all the things they've seen, they still repent not when the sun gets too hot. And by the way, it is going to get too hot. It's going to get seven times hotter. Hold your place here and go back to the book of Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, Old Testament. And find out a little detail on this thing. Back to Isaiah chapter 30. I'll give you time to find it. Mine's not marked either. I'm thumbing through pages that want to stick together sometime. And pick it up in about verse 26 of chapter 30. Got it? Okay, here we are. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. That's seven times. Sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Now, what day is that? Well, that's the tribulation period when God's dealing with the Jews in a particular way. When He's bringing them back to see who the Messiah is, in that day that He's healing them up, the sun is going to have a spell of getting hot. Seven times hotter. And that's the wrath of God falling in the tribulation period. How long? A week? A month? 2 days? Year? I don't know. But I do know it's going to be there. And it's going to be that hot. Now, thinking about that just a little bit, how many of you saw the news in the paper the other day telling us we might see two suns in the sky? Anybody see the one that said, I see one, two, three hands? Seeing two suns in the sky. I'll tell you the truth, I'd kind of like to see that. I'd like to see if we had a building big enough to hold the people the next week. Amen. That's what it's going to take to shake America. That's what it's going to take to shake the apathy out of a whole lot of people that even claim they're Christians. Oh yeah, they won't want to go. The fellow won't get up that morning. His wife says, honey, there's two sons. He's going to say, I'm going fishing today. That'll be great. Oh, he won't. He'll say, well, you going to church this morning? Amen. All it takes to shake the infidelity out of a fellow is to see something he can't explain like that. Amen. You didn't like that, did you? I'm just telling you the truth. It's a solid truth. Something big is going to happen one of these days. In the paper the other day, there's an argument. Some say it'll be like two suns. Some say it'll be as bright as a full moon, which was really beautiful last night if you come in late enough to see it. But something in the heavens is going to be happening. Now, they explained it, and you know what the astronomers are saying. They're saying there's a nova up there, or a star-like, planet-like thing, and that it's getting ready to explode. They say it might explode in the next 5 minutes. It might take it 100 years to explode. But when it does, they say when it does, that it's going to look like two suns or at least a full moon for a while as it burns out. Now, you say, could that be? Well, it could be, sure. Is it in the trib? Does it wait that long? Does it happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I do know Jesus said there would be signs. By the way, if you want to know the name of that nova, it's got a big name, but it's commonly called Betelgeuse. Can you remember Betelgeuse? That's about the way the name sounds. And so you watch out for that. Truthfully, though, there's going to be some times to come. There's going to be some signs in the heaven. Turn back again to the Gospel of Luke. And you got the Lord Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Luke. And chapter 21 of Luke pretty much parallels or adds or maybe some detail even to what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. But we're right in the times of Luke 21, really, really close. Jesus is talking about the days of vengeance. He said, speaking to the Jews, giving their history, condensing it really, he says, they shall fall, verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now in my Bible here, one of my Bibles here, all of them probably, I've got a little note written here, 1967, Six-Day War. That's when the Jews took back the Temple Mount and took it back more so in 1973. But the Jews were trodden down of the Gentiles. Jerusalem was until that date. We're talking about 2,500 years in 1967 before the Jews came back and had authority over the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which you see all the time with the Dome of the Rock on it and so forth. The Muslims have there. But anyway, don't want to get off in that, except to say that's the setting. In near the end, I don't think the time of the Gentiles is up until the rapture takes place, which could be any minute. But we see what would be going on during that time. And so this verse is pretty close to being fulfilled in 1967, 1973. Now pick it up in verse 25 of Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, who's talking here? Jesus says. What's he speaking of? The end time. He's talking about near the time the rule of the Gentiles will be broken. There will be signs in the heavens. There will be natural phenomena on the earth. Jesus also warned over there in Matthew 24 at that same time he's talking about that there'd be earthquakes in diverse places. Did you see in the news, what was it, this week or last week, where they had 30, I believe it was, they counted up to 30 pretty good tremors. Guess where? In Arkansas. Kind of interesting the way it keeps happening in diverse places. and happening so much that we don't pay much mind. It's overshadowed by what mobs in the streets, you know, whatever else is going on, or which movie star just went back to get dried out in the hospital. That's just about where America's brain power is at right now. Instead of the things they ought to focus on, it's the junk they're focusing on all the time. But anyway, back to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. It's the tribulation period. God's wrath's being poured out. The sun is going to get seven times hotter. I can imagine Al Gore running around saying, "I told you so." But I joke about some of that junk. But there is a time coming God's going to use the heavens to warn men and to hopefully have some repent, even though the verse says they blaspheme God when they begin to feel the pain, when they begin to hurt. Now it says in verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. I want you to notice something. The beast has a throne. He has a seat. He has a place of authority. The seat of the beast. That's Antichrist is the beast. And his kingdom. He's got a kingdom. And for a short while, the whole world is going to worship him, Revelation 13. And his kingdom was what? Full of darkness, just like it happened in Egypt when the Jews were being brought out unto Moses. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, that's pretty bad pain when you're doing that. I have heard of folks that bit their tongues and so forth, couldn't stand the pain. I want to tell you folks, if you're not saved, this is all planet Earth has got to look forward to. If you think it's going to get better with the next administration or the next politician you elect, you're kidding yourself. The Bible says evil men are going to wax worse and worse, and that perilous times are going to be here. Now, you believe the Bible? By the way, I believe your own eyes. You see what's happening today, I hope. I hope you do. And we're heading for the tribulation period. There's only one thing. That's the sound of the trumpet. Get God's people out. You know what we're called if we're saved? Now, a lot of us aren't living up to it too well. Now, you heard about the soul winning over at the fair. You know what those people were sitting over there with open Bibles and tents and putting in long hours telling people the gospel over and over and over again? You know what they are? They are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the Bible calls us. You know what an ambassador does? He tries to come and mediate between two sides to bring peace. And when we try to show somebody how to be saved, we're showing them the great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that can make peace between the Creator, the Lord God Jehovah, and the sinner. That's what it's all about. And so why does the Lord leave us here? We are His ambassadors to be doing His work, to be telling others about Jesus. But now wait a minute. What happens when one nation declares war on another nation? They call the ambassadors home. The Lord Jesus is going to sound a trumpet and call His ambassadors home. Those that are saved, He's going to say, "Okay, time's up." You say, "But Lord, I didn't do too good. Give me another year." No, now's our time. Now's the time to be a witness. Now's the time to get the job done for the Lord. He is going to call us home. The Antichrist kingdom is going to come. God's going to begin to punish that kingdom. And men are still going to blaspheme God. Pick it up in verse 12 of Revelation 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river, Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates River's right over there now. It's in the news. I was talking with one of our soldiers that's been home from over there a while, and he said, "I was around the Euphrates and the Tigris, right there, the rivers that's mentioned in the Bible. And the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Now here's the picture. Getting ready for Armageddon. It'll be in the next few verses. Getting ready for the end time battle. What's about to happen? When this happens and this sixth angel pours out his vial on the great river, it'll dry up. So there'll be a roadway. They won't have to build a bridge across it for the kings of the east and their armies. Now, if you want to see about that, that's a pretty good size army. Flip back. We studied it before. Go back to Revelation chapter 9 and pick it up in chapter 9 and in verse 16. And the number of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, if you do a little arithmetic, that's 200 million. pretty good sized platoon there, 200 million. No wonder the river has to be dried up to give them passageway across it. And that's what's going to happen. I find it a very interesting thing that a number of years back, I'm going to guess 20, 25, maybe even 30 years back, there was a big fuss in the news because Turkey built the dam across the Euphrates River. And of course, all the countries south of them, was fussing because Turkey now could dam up the river. Been a many person killed over somebody else damming up the stream in the old days. And so they're really fussing. The dam is there. It's workable. It's being used today. And they're worried about they could cut our water off, so to speak. And that's been around now for, I'm guessing, easy 25 years, maybe longer than that. And a lot of talk about it. A lot of talk about China building a highway to nowhere. They built it across the Himalaya Mountains. And they said, what do you want with this highway? Other nations south of there thought maybe they want a good open road to invade us. All of that's right, because that's what the Bible says. The army is coming from that way. China has even bragged that we could put 200 million men on the battlefield if we had to. Now, that's going to happen in the tribulation period. And the river's going to dry up. What's the reason? The reason's right here in the verse. The reason is that they're going to make a way for the kings of the east might be prepared. That would be China. And, of course, Turkey is direct north of Israel, and then, of course, Russia north of it. If you want to get a list of the nations involved, you read Ezekiel chapter 38, and it'll give you all the names there. But anyway, this is preparation for war. Now, pick it up in verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, didn't say they were frogs, but like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, you got three names here. You got the Antichrist involved, you got the religious leader, the false prophet, and you got the devil, the dragon. Here's what you've got in this verse. You've got a satanic trinity. Just like we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is one, yet he's a trinity. And the devil is the dragon. We found that out in chapter 12, that he's the old red dragon. That's the way God sees him. Men see him as an angel of light so much of the time in his deception. But he is the old red dragon. And so you got the satanic trinity. The devil, the dragon, the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the religious leader that points to the Antichrist and says, he's the man. Take his mark. Worship him. He's the true one. That's what will be going on in the tribulation period. So I saw three unclean spirits behind them here. For they are the spirits of what? Devils working miracles. Boy, we need to understand today, the devil works miracles. Don't be fooled by the so-called miracle workers on TV. Some of them are genuine good folks, but there's a pile of crooks and deceivers out there. And people that think they're manipulating God. Do you understand that's a satanic thing? Do you understand what the devil will do with false spirits? You have a warning in the Bible against people having a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit runs with fortune tellers, seers. And you go say, well, I got to see what my star chart is. I got to go see what the fortune teller says about my lifeline. I tell you what God says. He says you don't mess with that stuff. You leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's dangerous because there are false spirits. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says, try the spirits to see if they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. And the truth is that people today are flocked to anything that looks supernatural, not smart enough to know the devil looks supernatural. And he's able to do some things that you can't figure out naturally speaking, but it's of him. So these spirits are working miracles, and they go forth unto who? The kings. Now let's get it in focus here. These false spirits don't go down to the guy sitting on the bar stool, so drunk he's about to fall off. He goes to the kings. He goes to the politicians. He goes to the higher up. He goes to the UNs. He goes to the presidents, the kings. And he misleads them because, you see, from the top down is where the devil works. He works that way in churches that go liberal from the top down. They don't go from the bottom up. You won't have the common man that worked all week 40 hours and comes to church and says, "Preacher, I believe you ought to get rid of that hymn book. I'd like to hear something else." No, it starts at the top. "Preacher, get rid of that old King James Bible. I'd like for you to get something I can understand." That don't come from the bottom up. It comes from the top down every time. Liberalism starts in, quote, Bible schools, so-called. Colleges, universities. And your teens won't be misled by some foaming at the mouth country preacher. They'll get misled by the cigar smoking professor behind the mahogany desk in a big stuffed chair. That's the one that'll mislead them. You better understand it's from the top down. So the devil goes to the top. He goes to the kings. And when he gets them, he leads the nation with them, don't he? All right, time's up. I was about to meddle anyway.